The Old Testament lesson today is Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. The New Testament lesson today is taken from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, St. Stephen's. You may be wondering what I'm doing on your screen when you know that I'm on vacation this week. I had arranged for a padre, a chaplain in the armed forces, to come and lead the service today. One of the things about being part of the armed forces, as any of you who have family members who are part of it know, is that orders come first, and our padre received orders. Good morning, St. Stephen's. You may be wondering what I'm doing on your screen when you know that I'm on vacation this week. I had arranged for a padre, a chaplain in the armed forces, to come and lead the service today. One of the things about being part of the armed forces, as any of you who have family members who are part of it know, is that orders come first, and our padre received orders that took him elsewhere today. And so, as much as we're disappointed he couldn't join us, I am happy to be joining you via recording. And what I decided to do was to look back at my very first sermon that I gave at St. Stephen's. And at that time, we were at the beginning of something new, which I think we are again, 7 years later. It was also a Remembrance Day service, just like today. And so I hope you will find, shall we say, this message from an archive helpful as we think about what it means to be St. Stephen's in 2024. But first, let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for church fathers like Joshua, who show us what it means to be strong and courageous. We thank you for people like Peter, who showed us how radically you can change people. Help us this morning to hear your message for us. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. When I first arrived at St. Stephen's, I did a series called New Beginnings, where we looked at different beginnings that show up in Scripture. And I started with this story about Joshua, because it is a story of conflict, and we were talking about Remembrance Day. I will be honest that I don't have a lot of direct experience with national conflict, with war. I have not, in any significant way, been connected to the military, although I have family members who have been. Back in 2016, I went to Israel-Palestine, and I got a tiny, tiny taste of the long-term impact of that 70-plus year conflict on the people. Of course, since that time, the situation has gotten so much worse. And while I didn't visit Gaza when I was there, certainly the rubble and the destruction that we have seen via video and photographs is heartbreaking. There's also been an increase in violence in the West Bank, which I did visit when I was there. And I'll admit, I sometimes feel helpless. I don't know what it is I can do to help my Palestinian and Jewish siblings around the world who are facing an increased level of fear. And so when I think of Remembrance Day and the things that we are called to remember, I can't help but ask, what is it that we're remembering? And why is it important? And what does it have to do with our journey at St. Stephen's? So, of course, we remember those who died, in particularly the First and Second World Wars, but also conflicts that have happened since. We remember sacrifices that were made. Even people who came back did not come back from the war the same. There continues to be people living with post-traumatic stress disorder, with physical disabilities, and with mental illness. That means they may never be the same as they were before they entered the conflict. And we remember that those sacrifices were not made because people love war. They were made for our freedom, for the freedom of other people. And our armed forces continue to go into conflict in Canada, often with the specific purpose of seeking peace in areas that are rife with conflict. We also remember injustices that have been committed. We can look at what happened in Nazi Germany in the Second World War. We can see what has happened in other wars over the years. We can even see injustices that are happening today in conflicts around the world. And we need to remember these things, because if we forget, we're more likely to repeat them. And so we're called to remember. But we're also called to remember God's presence, even in these violent situations. One of my favorite stories from the First World War is on Christmas Day, 1914, where hostilities were stopped so that soldiers on both sides of the conflict could sing hymns together and exchange little gifts and food. This one small little day of peace in the midst of a war. And so we come to Joshua. And Joshua has just taken over leadership from Moses. And Joshua doesn't really know what's coming, except that God has promised the promised land. And Joshua knows that there's already people on that land, which means that claiming the promised land is going to mean war. Now, we could have a long conversation about the justness of Israel going in and taking the land from the Canaanites. That's a different conversation and a longer discussion that I'm happy to have, but that's not the purpose of my message this morning. This morning, we're invited to think about what Joshua was feeling and experiencing, what the Israelites were experiencing and feeling as they say goodbye to their trusted leader for over 40 years and turn to this new leader and this new experience as they're about to cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And so Israel is called to remember. They're called to remember God's rescue and provision of food and water. They're also called to remember how dangerous the people in the Promised Land are. And then God says this: be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Be strong and courageous. We see that phrase 5 times in different places around the time period of this event. 3 times in our passage. We see it again later on in Joshua. And Moses says it to Joshua as well at the very end of Deuteronomy. Be strong and courageous. And I love the word courage, because courage is not the absence of fear. It's the ability to go forward in our fear. And it makes me think of a song called Heroes by one of my favorite bands, Casting Crowns. And this song doesn't describe these big, huge, heroic acts, but it describes these little things that people do. It describes a single mother who chooses to keep showing up for her children day in and day out, even when life gets hard. They sing about a high school student who chooses to live a countercultural life because he believes that that's what Jesus calls him to do. And I would add that you could sing about a soldier who chooses to show up, to follow orders, to protect his or her country. And these are the words of the chorus. These are the heroes. Just ordinary people laying down their lives like angels in disguise. They're weak, but always willing. They dare to do the hard things. And in the dark and desperate places no one else goes, you'll find the heroes. Now, the church is not a battlefield, but I think there's a connection to those heroes, those soldier heroes, and us. Now I'm going to add a little bit to our present day, because back then you made a decision 7 years ago or 8 years ago to move forward in hiring a full-time minister. And that was a step of faith, and that was a step of courage. And I'm sure some of you were nervous about that decision. Maybe some of you continue to be nervous about the future of St. Stephen's and what it looks like. But you did then, and I think we're being called again now to step out in faith. To look beyond what is in the present to what God has in store for the future. Just like Joshua and the Israelites did. But how do we do that? How do we find the courage? How do we find the strength to take those steps forward in faith? One of the ways is we remember what has been written about God. In the law, right? That was part of what God said to Joshua. Be careful to obey all the law. Because the law describes instructions for how to live well, and provide signs of God's promises fulfilled. In the Old Testament, just in the book of Genesis, we find Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, none of whom were perfect, but all of whom took steps of faith, sometimes reluctantly, sometimes eagerly, looking for where God was, and God blessed them. In Exodus, we have the story of Moses walking in faith. And we can find stories of all sorts of other people through the Old Testament and the New Testament. And our New Testament reading came from one of those men who was sometimes a reluctant follower, right? Peter gets called the rock on whom Jesus will build the church. He gets called Satan. He betrays Jesus, and then he's restored. And he becomes a leader in the early church. And so when we read this passage, this encouragement from Peter, we know it's coming from somebody who hasn't always gotten it right, and yet has continued to walk forward and continues to see hope. And this is what he tells us to do if we want to walk in faith. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. And he says, if we do all of these things, we'll be fruitful. God will do work in us. So this is our invitation to try through Jesus to be good, to increase our knowledge, to work on our self-control, to persevere when it seems like there's no way forward, to choose God over everything else, to care for one another, and to love. We see over and over in the New Testament, over all of this, we put love. I'm very excited about what God has in store for this place. I have been awed and humbled over the last 7 years to see how God has been working in you and in us. But I think God's got something more radical planned. And I don't really know what it is. I'm excited to find out with you. But I see the gifts you have. I see the passion you have. I see your desire to follow Jesus. And God sees it too. So I invite you to be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Let us pray. Gracious God, I thank you. I thank you for these people. I thank you for your calling on this congregation. Help us, God, to step forward in courage, knowing that you walk before us May we see your way and may we follow it. Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.